Good morning. It's good to be in God's house, isn't it? Where there's praises forevermore. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, as you give us opportunity to come around your word. Father, I praise you for the opportunity to speak your word, that it is your word, Lord God. It is your kingdom come, that is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, we just pray that your Spirit might minister your word into each heart. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is here this day. We've already heard testimony, Lord, of the hearts that have praised you. But, Lord, we want to be all that you've called us to be. We want, Lord, to be right in the centre of your will. So we give you glory now and thank you for your grace to us and the joy it is of hearing your word, of growing in your word, of living in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I can't think of the actual sport, but I know Sam Kekovich, when he talks about Australia Day, and also often the people advertising sport, they'll say something's on, be there. Be there. If you want to know what's happening, be there. And it's like with our AGM on Tuesday night, if you want to know what's happening in the church, if you want to be up to date with all of the things that are happening, you need to be there. And this morning I want to ask you, are you there? And I want to speak this morning out of 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 to 7. And the story unfolds about a man called Elijah. Now, Elijah was just a man. He was just like other men. He was a person. And you know, it's interesting because the scripture doesn't tell us much about Elijah. There's no discussion about his past, about his family, about how he came to be. He's a bit like Melchizedek. He just simply emerges. He was a prophet, we know that, but God called him to be there, and he was there. And so we see that in that 1 Kings 17, around that time, Israel was in the grip of pagan worship. And we see today there's a lot of pagan worship around us today. People worship so many things other than worship God. They worshipped the god Baal, and he was the god of fertility. And so when the sun rose each morning, they believed that if they looked up, they saw the face of Baal. And when the thunder roared across the heavens, they believed that Baal would send down the blessing of rain upon them and they would see him in his glory. Baal was a sensual god, a wicked god of the flesh. And the worshippers of Baal worshipped evil things. And God hated it to the core. But when God allowed Elijah to stand before the king and boldly say that there would be no rain, it was such a divine challenge. And so we see that here's this worshipper of Baal, and it was Ahab's wife. The king at the time was Ahab. And it was his wife Jezebel who promoted Baal worship. She was right into it. And she was a very domineering woman, and we know we hear a lot about the spirit of Jezebel, which is wickedness. And so she dictated really to her husband about these things. And so here we have God seeing what's happening in Israel and not liking it at all. And there are many things God sees today that he doesn't like. And he calls those who are there to stand up and speak. And like we heard this morning, and many testified, how great is our God. And you know, as that prophetic word came from Kayleen this morning, or through Kayleen this morning, that we can say God is great. We can verbalise these things, but do we really know in our heart? Do we really understand how that relates to me? God is great, and it's wonderful to know that we have a great God, a great Father. But we can often look at him as being a father who's just going to give us everything that we need or everything that we want. But God wants to take us deeper than that. He wants us to see his greatness and his power, and that we will acknowledge that and allow that power and his greatness to outwork in our lives. And so we see that God called a man called Elijah, a man that we'd heard nothing else about, but he called him to be there. And so Elijah came and he challenged the people of Baal. He challenged them. And you see, when this challenge was issued, God said to them, I will show you who I really am. Do you really know who God is today? On an intimate level. Know him in a deep way. It's I am Jehovah, and I will prove it by cutting off the rain. And there is nothing that you or your gods can do about it. That was a challenge. And so Elijah boldly proclaimed that challenge. But it's interesting, as we read, that as soon as Elijah stands before the king and issues this challenge, he's immediately told to go and hide himself by the brook Cherith. And you know, some people misquote this story and they'll say that Elijah felt fear and ran away. But you see, the Spirit of God called him away. He'd done what he was meant to do. The word Cherith means to cut down or to cut off. And so God tells Elijah that just as quickly as he's placed him before man, he will just as quickly remove him. And so we need to understand that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. And sometimes we look at it and try to make it like a grandiose thing that we have many purposes. We have one real purpose. And that purpose is to be there. That purpose is to be in the very presence of God. That purpose is to hear God and allow him to speak through us and then for us to fully obey what he says. Now, Elijah could have argued and said, no, you know, I'm doing this. You've called me to do this. This is too quick. It's like I've come here for my big moment and all I had to do was do that. I want to stay here and say some more. And God said, no, that's it. It's cut off. Cut off. You move away. I don't know about you, but and I'm sure parents and grandparents would know that children get very, very impatient. And I was reminded, and it reminded me of this as I was getting this message ready, that when we went had our church camp, well, it's weeks ago now, we had the joy of taking Andrew Remain with us in the car. And because he hadn't been down there for a long time, he said to us, you know, is it far? You know, are we getting there soon? Are we there yet? And, of course, we teased Andrew all over the weekend over that. It was like, and it reminded us of our children, particularly when we were on our way to Western Australia many years ago. And my husband is, you will all know, is a man of few words at times, and he had not told us a lot about where we were going, just that we were going. And if any of you have been out into the outback of Australia, it's pretty desolate. And all those years ago, it was very desolate. The great road, Nullarbor Plain, was only completed halfway. So it was a lot of dust, and I thought we'd get bogged, and I thought, goodness, where have I agreed to go here? And the children were forever, is this it? Are we there yet? Each little dumpy little town we'd come to, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And it was like you get sick of hearing it. And I know the same with our grandchildren. Over the years, we've taken them up the river camping. And, you know, the journey seems a long time. Papa, are we there yet? And I remember one of our granddaughters, I won't mention names, was keen to know, are we there yet? And when are we going to get there? And we pulled along to this little petrol station quite out of Mildura. And I looked at her and I said, we called in there to get some petrol, and I said, this is the last bit of civilization you're going to see for over a week. Oh, it was like, and that wasn't very much at all. It was just a little store and not much there, but we were going right out into the bush. And so she, like others, had to discover a lot of things that her grandfather delights in with camping, which is pretty outback, I can tell you. But it's all about, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And we can be impatient, can't we? Are we there yet? And, you know, where are we going? What's it all about? And so we have to understand that there is a place that God wants us to be. And as we see this story of Elijah, we see that Elijah found that God had plans for him when he got there. When he got there. After being at Cherith for a time, the Bible tells us that the brook of water in that place dried up. Now, isn't that interesting? God sent him there, and then the brook dried up. And Elijah would be thinking, what's going on here? God, you told me to come here, and it was beautiful, and this lovely clear water was running, and now all of a sudden it's dried up. And then God told Elijah to go to Zarephath, which incidentally is where Jezebel reigned and ruled. It was her area. God promised the prophet that he had arranged for his needs to be met there. There as well. So when Elijah arrived at the brook, and when he arrived at the widow's house, he would see that God was there. If God calls you to go somewhere to do something, be sure that he is there. And quite often we get ourselves into situations and we say, God, where are you? Where are you? Because we're looking through our natural eyes now and not through our spiritual eyes. We need to know that if God gives us an order, if God gives us a call, if God tells us something, what is it? It's our faith to believe. Do we really believe him? Do we really believe what his word says? That he will be with us always, even to the ends of the age. If we know him, if we receive Christ as our Saviour, if we know we have the Holy Spirit within us, then believe me, God is there. Wherever it is, he calls you to go. Now, there's many things that we choose to do on our own, and there's many times God says, well, Pat, I didn't tell you to do that. You've got to wear that yourself. But if God speaks to me, I need to have the confidence to know that he is there. So I ask you, are you there? And so you would say, well, where's there? What are you talking about? So I'll tell you that there for Elijah was the brook, and later the widow's house. In the scripture, there for Noah was the ark. For Daniel, there was the prayer room that led to the lion's den. For the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, there was the fiery furnace. For Ruth, there was the field owned by Boaz. For David, there was the throne of Israel. For Paul, there was the prison cell. For Jesus, there was the cross. That was there. For Moses, there was the burning bush. To be there so that later he would be there to actually stand in the very presence of God on Mount Sinai and hear God's voice speak to him and give him such tremendous promises. So in other words, there is the place that your life finds that where God has called you to be. And there is the perfect will for your life. You see, there is the place where we know God intimately. There is the place where our spiritual ears are open to hear God. There is a place of obedience and surrender. And we can sometimes act out that we have those things, but we need to go away and really seek God. We can all have times where we think that we're there and that we start to feel that we can do it on our own, or we start to become a little bit overconfident and we don't become sensitive to things around us. And if we're there in that place that God has called just for you, not for me, I've got my place, you've got your place, then things around us will start to work. Not always as we expect. Sometimes the place that is there is unpleasant. It's uncomfortable. I've been there. Sometimes that there is when God wants to bring correction to us. And I've felt that that we can sometimes become so caught up in what we're doing that we're not conscious of how we're acting or what we're saying. And it's like the Spirit of God will say, be careful, listen to my spirit, be there where I want you to be. Now that doesn't mean we're perfect, because we're not, and we all make mistakes. We all do that. But you see, if we're there, we will hear the Spirit of God correct that mistake before it becomes a monumental disaster. Do you want to be there this morning? Do you want to be in that specific place? You see, I've spoken before about, you know, thinking about when we see people on a stage and, or, you know, I often smile. Sometimes I've had opportunity to see the Millionaire Show with Eddie, and the cameras are so set, aren't they? And sometimes people will get up out of their chair to thank him, and he'll say, move, you're out of me, you know, you're blocking my camera view. He's got to be on the camera. Or other people, when they come up on the platform, they've got to stand on a particular spot. That's their spot. Well, do you know God has a spot for you? A spot. Now, it's not a spot that you stand on and that you stand there forever, but it's a spot that is yours, that follows you forever, that becomes who you are. It's the spot that he has called for you. It's a spot and the place that he has that nobody else. And you know, it amazes me when I think about the amount of people that have come and gone, and the amount of people in the world today. I often watch people as I'm sitting in the car or sitting on a bench in a shopping centre, and the myriads of people, and we're all so different. And yet God knows everyone, and he knows a place that he has for each one. But so many are not there. They're not there. And even as we come to church and we're in this place, but are we really there in here? Are we really in that place of obedience? Sometimes God calls us to do extraordinary things, or he asks us to go to different places. And we, it's not exactly what we expected it to be. We might think, but God, I thought this was going to be all glorious. I often think about Pastor Mike and Shirley and that God laid on their heart many years ago, and it was a desire. And yet I remember Pastor Mike coming and saying, you know, really pray for us because it's not happening. But you see, God had an appointed time for it to happen. Now, I'm sure when they got over there, they were thrilled to be there in God's will, but it wasn't exactly maybe what they'd have dreamt it was going to be. There weren't the mod cons, there weren't the things, but you see, the comfort is and the knowledge is that they are there. Not there in a place, but there in his will. And if you were there in his will, then those things will all follow on. God will make all those things happen. All those things will happen. As we've seen with these scriptures. Some of these scriptures, it was like Ruth. She was there in the field with Boaz, but look what God did with her life. She ended up marrying Boaz. But then we think of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were there, but where? In the fiery furnace. But did it harm them? No, because they were there, not in the furnace, but in his will. In his will. You see, that is our faith, to trust his will, to trust exactly what the there is, where the there is, and what he's going to do with us in that there. That's the secret. We'll say, oh, I want to be there, but have we got the faith to stand in the there? When God called Moses to bring the children out of Israel, they were led where? There was the river. How are they going to get across? And Moses could have said, well, God, this is the there. Where are you? But instead Moses prayed. And as they prayed, the impossible happened. The water parted and they went across. You see, we will never know God's power. We will never know God's glory unless we allow ourselves to be there and then have the faith to believe that he's already there. He's already there. He's already waiting, no matter what it is that you face. There is a place of promise, as I've said. God promised Elijah that the ravens would feed him there, and they did. He is told that a widow woman would be there, waiting in Zarephath, and that he would find her there, just as God's word said. When you get there, you will discover that God is always there, waiting to fulfil his promise. Romans 4:21 saying, being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. That is our faith, to believe that he has the power to do it. He will keep his promise whether you and I ever get there or not. God doesn't wait for you to get there. He's already there waiting for you. And he will fulfil that promise. And so when we are there, we are in a wonderful position to see that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to his power at work within us. We're there. That will not work anywhere else but there. It's there in his will. It's there in his promise. Those who are there will see his will. And so we see that Elijah also saw that there is a place of provision. As I said, the ravens were there every morning and every evening to bring him his food. Where did they get the food? Who knows? That was not for Elijah to question, but just to trust that God would be there, that God would provide. When you get there in your own life, you'll find that God's promises are also yes and amen. They never lack, they never fail, they're never too late. They are always there. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. All your needs if you are there. We cannot stand outside the promise of God and expect the provision of God. We need to be in the heart of God's will to expect his provision. The word of God says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask amiss. You're not understanding. You're not standing in my will to understand my purpose for you to receive all that I have. The there is a place of providence. When he arrived there, Elijah was reminded that God was at work in all things. Notice in verse 4 and 9 of the scripture that I outlined before that he commanded the prophet to go to Cherith and then later to Zarephath. He had already commanded the ravens and the widow. And so God had already gone ahead. God doesn't wait for you to get there for it to happen. He goes ahead and has it all waiting for you. Have you ever been in a position where you've something's happened and you've thought, Lord, it's all here. What does it say in Psalm 23? He's prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. It's already prepared. Everything that you need in God is there. He just wants you to be there. Because if you're not there, you can't get it. You can't have it. Someone else can't go and get your portion. God requires you to be there. And then you will receive. Those who go with God and find they're there soon come to understand that they are serving a God who is not bound by any limits. No time. No structures. Your tomorrow is right now, and whatever takes place in your life is a result of his advanced planning. There is no accidents. There is nothing before, there's nothing behind, there is only the now in God. And so we need to understand that there is a place of power. Do you need the power of God in your life? I do. Do you want to see the power of God? We cry out, show me your glory. And I toss back and forth with that because I first felt to bring the word this morning from that scripture, but God kept speaking to me about being there. Pat, are you there? And it's not, were you there yesterday? Are you there now? Do you want to see my glory? Do you want to see my power now? We'll be there now, right in the centre of my will. And sometimes, you know, those nearest and dearest, in fact, I had a lady ring me yesterday, and she was so upset because she loves the Lord and she speaks out about him to her family and friends, and she comes under such ridicule. And we can all do that, can't we? I have that at times, but not like this lady. It's like from everywhere were coming nasty things said to her, and she was struggling. And I said to her, just stand. God is calling you to be where you are. Don't overdo it. Don't push it on people, but be who God called you to be. Stand in that place, because I already had this on my heart. And I said, God will make a way. Don't be influenced. But see, sometimes we want to give up, don't we? Because we want to be popular. We want to be right with our family. We want to be right with our friends. You young people, sometimes it's hard for you to be there because your friends say, oh, what are you, that's old hat. What are you doing that for? Come out and have some fun. Why don't you get involved in this? Why don't you do that? You don't have to be so strict. You can be a Christian and still let your hair down. You can still come out and party and have fun. No. The greatest joy is in God's presence. The greatest lift that we need is the Spirit of God. We can go out and go to places with other people and they need a thing called alcohol to give them a lift. We have the Spirit of God. And that shows, and that's a great testimony. So you young people, you need to be there. Because if you're not there, you will not experience that power and that authority and that surge of God's Spirit to give you that joy. You'll be caught between the there and the there. And that's a very desolate place to be, because it's trying to be what God wants you to be without drawing on the power that he wants to give you. And that's by being in his presence. And so we see that Elijah got to see the ravens bringing his meat and bread. He got to see the meal and the cruse of oil supplying the widow and her sons for many months. He got to see the Lord raise a dead child, something that had never happened before. So Elijah was there. He saw the power of God. When you get there and you stay there, you'll be in a position to see that power, as I said, manifested in lives, in your life and then in others. Being there sometimes will be a position out of our control. Sometimes the there, as I've said before, is not a pleasant place in our understanding. But if we get the grasp that God is already there, and if God has called you there, he will care for you, that he is able to keep you from falling. He is able to comfort you. He's able to protect you. And to know that there is his will anyway, that it's his will. And there is no greater place to be than in his will. So we need to be reminded that when life is out of control, it is well within his. Nothing is ever out of his control. So those who are there will experience the great power of God. And then the there is a place of protection. And we all need protection today. Not just physically, but more spiritually. Because as I said before, there are many things that will come at us. We see in chapter 18 of Kings that Ahab was searching everywhere to take Elijah's life. And it was interesting that God called Elijah to the very place where Jezebel ran around. And yet he was in a place of safety. Because in Zarephath, Jezebel, that was her backyard, and yet he was as safe as a baby in bed. Why? Because God was there. And he was trusting in God being there, knowing that God would keep him. You know, even we remember, and I'm not going to go into it, but the story of David, and how David so wanted to honour the king, King Saul, And yet Saul was jealous and bitter and angry, and this anger became violence, and he tried to kill David. And David had to dart in and out. But you see, David was only kept safe because he was there. And so much do we know that David was there in that place, that David one time came to a cave where Saul was sleeping. And the soldier said to him, look, you've got the opportunity, just go in and cut his head off. But you see, that was the flesh speaking, but God in him said, no, my will is that you do not touch the hem of his garment. And so David tiptoed across the lying bodies and stepped over Saul and didn't even touch the hem of his garment. And it would have been so easy to justify it and say, this man's trying to kill me. Because David was there, Saul didn't wake. Because David was there, he went on to be king. You see, we can't always see it now, but we need to trust that if we were there, he will keep us there. So it's a place of protection. It's a place of provision. But I want to finish with, there is a place of providence. When he arrived there, Elijah was reminded that God is God and he's at work on both ends of time. As we see in verse 4 and 9, that he... But it's to remember that he is there in providence and that God will keep you as well, that he never, ever moves away from what he has promised to do. And so finally, it's a place of privilege. There is a place of privilege. Being there, Elijah learned more about God and his power than he could ever have learned anywhere else. It is there in that situation, whether it seems pleasant or whether it's a stretch. You see, God knows each one of us and he knows where our heart is. And it may be that we're in a place where God just needs to take us on a little further. Or it may be we're in a place that the there for us means that we have to face some things, that we need to be broken down, that our pride needs to be cut off, that our self-sufficiency might need to be cut off, that our faith needs to be extended. And so God knows. And so if you're finding yourself today and you're saying, well, I'm there but I don't like it, it's not very pleasant, surrender to it. Remember, God's arm is not too short that he cannot reach down and touch you. He has given, as we heard wonderfully in communion, he's given his son, the Lord Jesus. And you see, Jesus knew from the moment before he was born, but when he came to earth, what did Jesus come for? He came to die. That was his there. His there was the cross. He did wonderful things along the way. He touched, he fed, he served. Yes, he prayed for people, but they were things along the way. Jesus' mandate was the cross. Jesus' appointed time was the cross. If Jesus had not gone to the cross, if his there had not been the cross, we wouldn't have a there. We wouldn't be here. We'd be out doing our own thing or just coming like a religious group, making hollow calls out to God. Jesus went to the cross because then when he died, he rose. When you're there is a trial or a difficult circumstance, it's possibly because God wants to break off or cut off or kill off something in you that's hindering you from bringing his glory. That's what I found in my life. Just as Jesus died that he might rise, the things in us need to die that we might rise, that we might show forth his glory, that we might show that we are there, that we are confident, that we are safe, that we are trusting in that power, that we are a privileged people to be able to be there. God's path for our life is difficult at times, but it's necessary. He can do for you what he did for Mary and Martha, for Moses, for David, for Noah, and the disciples in the storm, for the three Hebrews in Daniel. None of those would have ever known what God could do unless they had been there. We need to be in the there for God to be able to display his power and his glory. Otherwise, we won't see it. We'll miss out. Do you want to miss out? I don't want to miss out. God, show me your glory. I want to be in that place of obedience, that place of surrender in my life, in my walk, in my relationships with those that I love, in my marriage, with my children, with my parents, with my siblings. I want to be there. I want to be there with my brothers and sisters in this church. I want to be there on a Friday night when we come together and praise, which is actually on the 4th of June, not next Friday, the Friday after. I want to be there. I want to be praising God. I want to be there. I want to hear God's voice as we come collectively together where two or three are gathered together in his name. There he is in the midst. Not that he's not with you when you are there on your knees by your bed or when you're sitting in a chair. As long as in here you are there, he will speak to you very clearly, very loudly, very specifically. My child, I love you. My son, my daughter, this is what I have for you today. Are you there? Have you reached the place in your life where God says, I am there. It is my will. I want you to obey. Be there that I've called you. So Elijah went there to stay there until his orders came to go somewhere else. So if you are there, stay there. Stay there. Don't move. Wherever it is that God's called you to be today, be there till God tells you where the next there is. If you have never arrived there, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe very much today the Lord is saying, I want you to be there. I want you to be at the cross. I want you to surrender your ideas, your life for mine. So if there's anyone this morning who doesn't know the Lord, please come and know what it means to be there. If there's anyone this morning who has not yet had the wonderful experience of knowing the power of the Holy Spirit surge through you, and you don't know how to pray effectively in the Spirit, God wants you to be there today. And if there are others who struggle with it, it's like a tug. I know, God, you want me to be there, but I want to be here. I want to be here. And we've all had that struggle. God says, let it go today. Because where you want to be ends to nothing. Where you want to be is of the world, as the flesh. And it'll just bring you emptiness and heartache. It's like our children. We say to them, don't go there, you'll get hurt. This is the way to go so you'll be safe. But sometimes they'll run off and do their own thing and then they come back and we're always there ready to love them and to comfort them. But we want them to understand that they need to listen. They need to listen to the wisdom and our advice and not go to those places where they're going to get hurt. And so God's saying today, be there, not there. Be in my will, be in my protection, in my provision, in my promise, in my power, so that I can keep you. And so this morning, if you want to live in the power of God's glory, the secret of that is being there, of staying there, of knowing him there. Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the blessing that it has been to me. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would minister that word to each heart that is here this morning, that is open. That, Lord, we would not go away and think, oh, that was a good word, and then go off to think about something else, but that your Spirit might bring that word deep into the hearts. That, Lord God, even just to read about Elijah and how much you taught this man, Lord, from being there, which furthered on that he did a great and a mighty ministry. And you've called each one of us, Lord, with that purpose to serve you, that purpose, Lord, to show forth your glory, that purpose, Lord, to have a great and a mighty ministry, not in the eyes of the world, but the ministry that brings salvation, healing, freedom, comfort. Lord, the ministry that you have called us and that your Spirit is upon us, and you've called us to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to speak hearing to the dumb, Lord, to bring freedom to those who are in captive. That is the there that we want to be. So, Lord God, by your Spirit, minister that today in Jesus' name. Amen.